I am Mary Harris. You are listening to WNYC. I am here with Alvin and Lawrence Ubell. They have been coming on the show longer than anyone here can remember. Somehow, they started being called the gurus of how-to, but they're also known more officially as the Accurate Building Inspectors. And now that winter may really be here, I am so happy to welcome them back here to help us with all the sorts of things that can go wrong, like heat, clanking pipes, leaks. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks.
My pleasure.
Great to be here again.
It's a fun place to be.
It is so good to be here, yeah.
Yeah, now that it's winter, I mean, if for people who own homes and they haven't brought their hoses in, it would really be a good time before they all
burst
and rupture. And if you haven't shut off the valve on the inside, it's a good time to do that too.
Yeah.
Any of the stuff that you left outside that's filled with water.
I have a lot of those things.
You might want to drain some of those things out if it gets warm. Right now, I think I walked outside. I think there was a pot in my front yard that's frozen solid.
The snow is like the warning shot across the bow. Get it all in
yeah,
now.
Right.
Do and, it. Shut it
but,
off.
And people are just so lazy. It's just, you know. But they do make, and if you get tired of taking things in all the time, they make valves that actually don't have to shut it off on the inside. They're called frost-free valves.
Huh.
And so the actual valve is, the actual shut-off part is actually inside the house, the heated space.
Huh.
So that part that extends through the wall
is
actually just empty pipe.
Huh.
And so that is a good way. But I'm going to give a warning. If they say you have a 3-inch wall, don't just get the 3-inch long valve. Get the 6-inch wall, because I had one that was exactly the right dimension and it still froze.
And they make that device up to about a foot and a half.
18 inches.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So let me give the number, because if you guys have questions, you should call in,
definitely,
ask your questions to these guys. It's 212-433-9692. I'm going to tell you guys a story. So my parents came to town a few weeks back and were at a party up in the city, and they had like that classic New York experience where they said, we were at a party and like the window was open and the radiator was hot. And like, I was just like, oh, it's so New York. It's like what all of us go through. Is there something that we should be doing better?
In the New York City, they overheat the houses. So the best thermostat that they have is the opening up the window, because
right,
if you close the window, you're in an oven. And you could bake potatoes inside that house. So what happened is that instead of being a baked potato, they open up the window.
Right. But like, what should we be doing?
Well, the problem is that this is normally a problem with apartment buildings.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, pre-war buildings and old tenements. And the reason for it is that these older buildings are heated with steam.
Yeah.
And steam systems tend to be, not always, but 99% of the time, single zone systems. In other words, the boiler turns on and the whole building, whether it's 3 stories, 12 stories, 24 stories, the whole building gets hot.
Mm.
And so the problem is, how do you balance a system like that? And how do you make sure that the people on the top floor that are the furthest away from the boiler are just as warm as the people on the first floor that are right over the boiler?
So because before it gets too cold, what should we be doing to the radiators?
There's nothing you can do, because the way that these buildings are heated is on a device called a heat timer, and it actually calculates the temperature outside, the desired temperature inside, the amount of on time and off time, these cycles, and basically that just it's trying to go to the lowest common denominator, and you end up overheating a building. And also the one thing that landlords hate are complaints that it's too cold, especially when people are spending $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month on rent.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
there are ways that you have to really understand what the radiator is. If the radiator is sometimes undersized, or there's an air valve on it, it depends upon whether it's a one-pipe system or a two-pipe system. There are so many different complications. There's about maybe 20 different types of steam heating systems.
Hmm.
And you got to know each one of them and how they function and what's the shortcomings of them. And also age has a lot to do with that.
And I live in my own house now, so I can control the heat as I want it. But my wife, Leslie, when she used to have her apartment in the city, there were 2 radiators in the apartment that were never on. They were just shut off. And even with that being the case, the windows were open.
Yeah.
And so we had really 3 radiators in the apartment, 1 radiator was on, and there was still a window open.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, and like you,
adapt.
Here's the problem. You see that window open, what you're really seeing is energy, money, and climate change going right out that window.
Absolutely.
Because that's what's really happening. We're wasting tons of money, but to refit these buildings with efficient heating systems is just so cost prohibitive. Yes. It's just not going to happen, and it's a sorry state, but, you know, that's it.
So people are calling in. So I want to go to a caller who has a question. Oh, did you want to say something, Alvin?
Yeah, but there's the only one thing. That we usually have a word of the show.
Yes, tell me.
We have to. You can read.
No,
that.
It's called the word. It's called the radio word game.
Word game. Tell me. Okay, so I have a question here, and we're going to ask the listeners, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. C clamps are one of the many popular tools in most carpenters and mechanics toolbox. What does the C in C clamp stand for? Now, if you call in, if you get the right answer, there's going to be a prize, right, guys?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So that is the question. I'm going to ask one more time just so everyone hears it. C-clamps are one of the many popular tools in most carpenters and mechanics toolboxes. What does the C in C-clamp stand for? Okay.
Voila.
Voila. Call in. Okay. I'm going to go to John in Paramus, who has a question for you guys. John, are you there?
Hey, John.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I'm very disappointed in you two being on this program in the light of the way they've been treating Leonard.
Well,
I am so sorry that you feel like that. We are, you know, we're all dealing with it here, but thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to go to Michelle in Westchester.
Michelle! Hi, Michelle, what's up?
I built a house about 7 years ago, and when I built it, I opted not to have insulation put in the walls because I was afraid that it might become toxic or that they didn't, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So I can have blown in now?
Well, backing off a minute, you were afraid it would become toxic from mold or toxic because of the material itself?
I was afraid that the stuff that they said was safe at the time would be found later on, you know, to be toxic, because many things that they, you know, say are fine, later on they find
that was probably with the polyurethane or stuff like that.
Well, here's the thing.
I can't get it out.
Yeah, here's the thing. The as far as blowing in insulation now, that's kind of it's a hassle. You can blow in either rock wool or fiberglass down into the walls. The problem is that you end, because it's not structurally held to another material like most fiberglass insulation is held to paper, which keeps it, you know, separated from one another. The insulation itself kind of gets compacted at the bottom of the wall cavity. And so, yeah, and so you end up where the bottom of the wall cavity is compacted and the insulation doesn't work, and the top of the wall cavity is empty where you need the most insulation because it's the top of the wall and that's where the heat goes. You have a problem there. The only, you know, the other option is, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not sure how well this works, is they can possibly inject, you know, what they would do is maybe open up the top of each wall. I'm assuming it's drywall. So drywall to repair is not that complicated. They can open up the top of each bay and blow in or inject open or closed cell polyurethane. But I also have to say, if you're
that's a good idea.
But that stuff,
and
you also have to get out of the house.
Is that toxic?
Well, it outgasses for about a day or two, so you can't really live in the house while it's happening. Okay, but once it outgasses, from what they say, it's good. I actually have that material in. I have open cell polyurethane insulation in my house, and I haven't come down with anything yet. But who knows? You know, you don't know. We're all guinea pigs at this point.
Yeah, but you look all right.
That's why I opted not to do it. But that's I would have
gone with more fiberglass or rock wool or something like that, which is not toxic when it's in an enclosed space. I would have probably went with that anyway. But anyway,
okay.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
I feel like
there is
just so much concern about what we're putting in our house and all of the off-gassing. We actually have a question on our show page about this. Go ahead. Okay, so the question is there any outgassing fumes or irritants from years-old paint on top of old lead-based paint? If so, how do we prepare the walls for repainting over very old paint?
No. There's
no outgassing on any kind of, like if it's water-based paint or it's alkyd paint, which is done with different chemicals. Those chemicals are evaporate out of the material, and it leaves what is known as the vehicle of the paint. That's a solid piece of material. So all these solvents that they use on are really evaporate, like gasoline or alcohol that you use. It just dissipates into the atmosphere.
As far as the lead is concerned.
Far as the lead is concerned, that's a difficult thing to say because it depends upon how the paint is applied and whether the paint that you're putting on, which is not lead paint anymore, can bond to the underlayment paint. And if that paint peels off or they're incompatible, then all of a sudden the lead paint is now exposed. And usually with young children who are crawling around the house and they have the specialty that they children have and they crawl around the floor, those are the problems that we have with lead paint. But if the wall has this wet lead paint in it, the only way to do that is actually put over, like they panel it over with some sort
like
of...
Like put something on top of it.
Really, it's like almost like a prophylactic over the whole thing to hold it back, and then it's a new wall, actually. And all the lead is underneath it.
But one has to know that the lead paint issue is only a problem, and we're talking about lead dust issues, are only a problem for children 5 and under. Mm. Once a kid stands up, he ages out of the lead paint problem.
Because he's not going to eat the chips?
Well,
because
they don't crawl around on the ground like little Swiffers and then stick their hands in their mouth, which is normal hand-to-mouth activity, which all children do. That's how they discover the world, is through their hands in their mouth. So they crawl around the floor and they put their hands in their mouth. Once they stand up, kids don't do that anymore. And if they are still doing that, you have other issues you need to deal with. As far as adults getting lead contamination, that is only through either gas, when it's usually in a occupational setting where they're burning paint off of a building or doing something like that industrial, or the third one is through lead in water. And there's been a lot about that. New York tends to have less of that problem because of our soft water and the chemicals that we put in our water to seal the pipes. And fortunately, we're not getting any of our water from the Flint River.
Right.
So that being the case, we have, we don't have that problem here in New York. Even people, I have to say, and this is anecdotal only, my house, when I bought it, had a lead water main. The lead water main, I didn't know it had, and I'm an inspector. Why? Because the connection of the lead water main was outside the foundation in the soil. So what came through my foundation wall was a brass pipe.
So how did you find out?
My water main broke.
Huh.
And it was leaking, and I said to the plumber, wow, isn't that crazy that a copper main would go that quick? And he goes, it's not copper, it's lead. And he showed me a piece of it. Skip ahead. My daughter was born and lived in a house for a year. We did no precautions as far as water, and she graduated cum laude from Smith. So, can you imagine if she didn't have lead contamination? Okay, so, that being the case.
It's all, and I mean, you said we're all guinea pigs. We're all in the system.
And I think
trade-offs.
That we have to, but yes, we have to take the lead paint issue with children very seriously. And housekeeping is a big component to keeping your children safe. Vacuuming, sweeping, mopping.
Let's go to a call now. I want to go to Richard. He is asking about a two-zone heating system.
Yes, I want to talk.
Hi. So let's say you have a two-zone heating system. So there was zone one downstairs, zone two upstairs. And let's say as an economy measure for the winter, you're going to turn off zone two and simply not use the upstairs bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so the pipes that have water in them that take the hot water upstairs to the forced air heating system, if you simply cut off that water and drain those pipes, is that sufficient or should you also put antifreeze in them?
Well, I'm going to just say that if unless it gets less than 50 degrees upstairs,
I doubt that
because the lower level is going to be heating it up anyway.
And the heat rises by gravity into the upper area.
I pretty doubt that it's going to get to 32 degrees on your second floor.
So I don't need,
don't need to do anything.
So what I've already done is simply drained the pipes, the copper pipes that take water upstairs, and you don't think I need to put...
No. I mean, I would put a thermometer on the wall, and as long as it doesn't read anywhere near 32, I think you're in good shape.
I doubt whether it'd ever go below. It's like 50. If you have 72 downstairs or 75 downstairs, or, there is no way that upstairs is going to be below freezing point.
Yeah, there's no way.
No way.
But if I go away for a few days and I turn the downstairs down to like 57,
then you might have a
problem. Then you have a problem.
Then you might have a problem. but if you're just draining the pipes, there's no reason to fill them back up again.
Okay.
Just leave them empty.
Those sleeves that with low voltage electricity that heat the pipes, do you think those are effective?
That's only required in when it's on an exterior wall and you have a constant freezing problem.
I see.
Yeah, if you don't have a freezing problem, then leave it alone.
And may I answer your question?
Yeah, he hasn't answered the question.
Go.
About the C-clamp. I think it's for the letter C because that's how it's shaped, right?
You would think so. But that's not the case.
But okay. it has been adopted that way over the years, but originally it has a different name.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Your segments are always so valuable and informative. Sure. I really appreciate them.
Thank you.
Richard, thank you so much for calling. I am Mary Harris. I am speaking to Al and Larry Ubell, our gurus of how-to, just in time to talk about winter home repairs and projects. On Thursday, December 21st at noon, we will be broadcasting live from the Green Space. Join us with host Jonathan Capehart as we celebrate the holidays with jazz pianist Bill Charlap, who will perform Christmas favorites. Plus, Grammy Award-winning mezzo-soprano Susan Graham talks about her starring role in The Merry Widow at the Metropolitan Opera, along with her co-star, tenor Paul Groves. And New York Times columnist and cookbook author Melissa Clark will be there with tips for making delicious holiday gifts. She will take your questions. Get your tickets now at thegreenspace.org. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. We're going to be right back after a break. I am Mary Harris. I am back with Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, and I'm going to give you their question again so you guys can call in, try to get that prize. C-clamps are one of the many popular tools in most carpenters and mechanics' toolbox. What does the C in C-clamp stand for? We already had one person who guessed it looks like a C, and that's not it, guys. I was kind of shocked by that. Al, tell me about pinwheels. I have this paper in front of me that says pinwheels. I want to know more.
Well, actually, this is a thing about I came up with almost accidentally and necessary. I have a terrace, and the pigeons are on my terrace all the time.
Those pigeons love the terrace.
They nest on my terrace. They had the
not okay.
They gave birth. The chickens came out of
the
eggs.
You had baby pigeons on your terrace?
Yeah, the pigeons came out of the
eggs. No one ever sees baby pigeons.
Except for Ali Bell.
Have you ever seen them?
No, are they cute?
I don't know.
I'll tell you something. They're tiny.
Okay.
and also, they leave other things on the terrace, which is
I can't imagine what those things are.
It's disgusting. There's no question about it.
Yeah, okay.
So I came up with the thing is that I used to bang on the window, and I used to do all kinds of things. And finally, I went into a hardware store, and I saw these large pinwheels made out of metal.
Like beautiful pinwheels, like the kinds that you'll see blowing in the wind.
And I said, maybe we could scare them away. This is my eviction idea. And so I put on these things. I saw two, and the pigeons diminished. I put on four, and they're gone forever. What they did was, unfortunately, they're on my neighbor's terrace.
Have you told your neighbor about the pinwheels yet?
No. He's a shtunk, I think. Anyways, so...
So if you have pigeons...
It really works very well as long as the wind is blowing and the eviction proceeding is eliminated
and
they come back.
And it's humane.
It's not spiking
and
them.
It's humane.
Everyone has seen those little spikes on top of the windows.
And the owls don't really work.
Yes.
Yeah. the fake owls.
No, they have now owls that move. The movement is really what
actually, real owls really help.
Oh, like real owls.
Cats.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's what all those people with pigeon problems, get those big pinwheels, tie them down tight with a C-clamp. That's what I have done with a C-clamp. And they don't shake because they're made out of metal and the stem. That's my tip of the time.
Okay, great. Let's go to a call. We have Tamara, who's from Riverdale, who's on the line.
Yeah.
Go
hi,
ahead.
Thank you.
Hi, what's up?
Hi. So first of all, I want to say I'm a brand new homeowner, and this is the first time that I've heard this show. So I'm super excited to be able to talk to you.
Oh, that's great.
Welcome.
Thank you. So we just bought a house in the Bronx, and there is, we have a bunch of, you know, hoses outside and the tubes that come out that are semi-underground and then come out of the ground for hosing in the front and the back. So we, of course, were told that we have to bring in all the hoses.
Right.
But then all of the tubes, the pipes, rather, that are, you know, in the garage and then outside and this part of the outside and all over the place, we were told that somehow we need to, like, blast the water out.
Well, let me ask you a question first. These are, you have basically what we call a spigot, and it has a thread on it where you screw your hose into and a valve on top that you screw, that you turn to open and close the water, correct?
That's right.
Okay, and it's metal, right?
Yeah, yeah. Some of the tubes are actually, like, a, I guess a PVC.
Oh.
But that piece is actually metal. And most of them, yes, are metal.
Okay, so on the inside of the building, adjacent to where the exterior of the, where it is on the outside of the building, on the inside, adjacent to that, there should be a shutoff valve. And that shutoff valve needs to be closed during the winter.
Clockwise, and, you turn down.
Yeah, righty-tighty, okay. Lefty-loosey. But yeah, you should turn those off and then go back to the outside and open them up.
Counterclockwise.
That, yes. And and you go and open those up, and that way it lets the water out, it lets the water expand, but you're shutting it off on the inside. So you really have to do, you got to get yourself a flashlight and try to investigate. And if you see a valve that's just right next to the exterior wall where, or the foundation, where that pipe is, that's the proper valve. Shut it off and then open up the outside one. If no water comes out, you got it right.
Okay, good. So I don't have to blast it out or
you shouldn't have to,
reason
no.
to it.
You shouldn't have
no.
to.
Great.
Okay. But if the sometimes the only once in a great while the valve from the inside doesn't seat properly because it depends upon whether it's a globe valve or a ball valve or a gate valve.
Yeah.
So sometimes it doesn't seat and you see water dripping outside even though you shut it off. Then you may have to call a plumber to fix the inside valve.
And one more thing. Some of these valves that are actually designed specifically for exterior water shutoff has a little cap on the side of it. And that cap is actually, if you unscrew that cap, it's a little cap, it's about a quarter inch by a quarter inch, and it unscrews, and that'll allow the water to drain out of the pipe. That's actually a weep hole to get the water out. Now, you can't turn the valve on with that missing because then the water squirts all over the place. But it's on the outside side of the valve. So if you open up that, all the water will drain out of the pipe, and that will also stop it from freezing.
Congratulations on the new home, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm gonna go to a question that we have on Twitter right now because it's a question that I have too.
Okay.
They ask, which is more efficient or economical to turn the heat off overnight or set it to a lower temperature or less temperature to raise in the morning? And is it also possible to do insulation from the outside while redoing siding?
Well, those are two different questions.
Yes.
And two different models. As far as lowering the you have to understand how the heat works. In other words, when you lower the temperature of the heat, you're not only lowering the temperature of the air that touches you, but you're also lowering the temperature of all the furniture and all the things in the building.
Oof.
So therefore, when you turn the heat up, it takes longer to heat up the whole building because you've got to heat up all the physical things before the air gets comfortable level at, say, about 72, 73 degrees. And that is, people sometimes don't understand that. Turning down the temperature too low is not a good thing, but turning it down maybe another 5 or maybe only about 8 or 9 degrees, that's okay, and then bring it back up again when you need it.
But
that's
I also want to say,
that'll save a couple dollars.
For people who want to save money on heat,
turning
the temperature down to as low as you can physically be comfortable. I mean, I have to say, turning off the heat and having the room go down to 59 degrees, you wake up and it's like sleeping outside.
You feel it.
It's cold. Okay, so that's not good because then you're going to turn it up maybe too high and then you'll overheat the room and now you're just wasting energy anyway. What I recommend is you should turn it down to a comfortable level, but you should get yourself what they call a learning thermostat. And they're not that expensive.
Like a Nest?
Nest are learning thermostats also, and I love them, but you don't need to spend the $250 to $300 to get one. You can buy a Honeywell learning thermostat that actually, and what it learns is not you walking around, what it learns is how long it takes the temperature to go from one temperature to another. In other words, if let's say overnight you want it down at, let's say 65 degrees, but when you wake up in the morning, you want it to be 70, it will know how many hours it will take to get that space back up to 70 degrees.
So it learns about your house.
It learns about your house. It does. It learns about heat loss. It learns about heat loss. It learns about heat gain. And it's really kind of smart. Now, on the other hand, the Nest thing, it monitors when you're walking around and all that stuff. Mine is actually connected to my phone. So when my phone drives away from my house, usually it's with me, it will know how far I am. It will turn the heat down automatically. Huh. And then this one I haven't figured out yet. I don't know if it's connected to Waze or to Google Maps, but somehow I'll put my address in and all of a sudden I'll look at it and my heat is up.
So it anticipates you're coming home.
Yeah, I think my phone talked all the apps.
I don't know that I want my thermostat to be that smart.
I don't care. The NSA knows what I'm doing anyway. I'm on the radio. How much of a secret life do I have? Anyway, yes. That point notwithstanding. But yes, it's good to turn the heat down and it's good to turn it back up. A lot of people say, oh, if I leave it up, you know, it uses more energy turning up to get back up again. No, it doesn't.
There's also one other thing about thermostats.
Yeah.
Thermostats are not a throttle on a car. Just because you turn the temperature way up, it doesn't take any longer or shorter. What you'll do is you'll overheat the house.
It's like pressing the elevator button. I'm just like,
and all that heat goes out the window.
Yeah, that's funny about elevator buttons. You get on an elevator, you see the floor you want to go to is lit.
You still press it. Yeah. What about that second question about putting siding on the outside of a house?
Is that you mean insulation on the outside?
Yeah, sorry.
Yes. You can do that. It's very common with materials like aluminum siding, which no one uses anymore, or vinyl siding or vinyl shingles. You could definitely use styrofoam insulation underneath. It works.
Huh.
If you're redoing the exterior with the material called EIFS, which stands for Exterior Insulating Finishing System, or as the rest of the world calls it, fake stucco, that the base level of that is styrofoam. And that acts as an that's why it's called exterior insulating finishing system.
Right.
Because that has all the things involved. I have to say, one thing about construction is usually what the thing is called is usually what it does. Okay?
Keep it simple.
Yeah, it's KISS concept for sure. And so, yes, you can put it on the outside. Unfortunately, if you want to do a very elaborate job, like doing wood shingles, wood clapboards, that sort of thing, putting insulation on the outside sometimes doesn't work because those materials really need to be held to the building and that insulation is kind of foamy and so you get unevenness. But with those other materials, it works very well and it's a very inexpensive way to do it.
Okay. We have someone who has an answer to the C-clamp question. Bridget from Brooklyn, you're on.
Hey, Bridget, what's up?
Yes. What's your answer?
Hold on. Let me turn off my radio. Okay, my answer is a Cucoloris.
No, but thanks for playing.
Sorry, Bridget.
It was a good shot.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Okay,
we should have asked her. So Larry in Fairlawn, I'm curious if we can talk to him.
Larry?
Yes, hi.
Hi, what's up?
Yeah, I'm in a house that's was built about 1946. My parents bought in 63. It's been a problem, I gather, as long as they've had it.
Yeah.
The kitchen sink faucet, when I turn the hot water on, even if it's the hottest day in August, never mind today, it takes 30 to 60 seconds to go from cold to warm to hot. And, I mean, gallons and gallons of cold water just go down. And no one's been able to really tell me what the problem, the solution. One plumber said to raise the temperature on the water heater. All it does is make it scalding.
No.
My dad theorized this is the one faucet or shower or basin furthest away from the hot water heater and the boiler and takes longer to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have any guess? Is that the reason and any solution?
No, I want to take this one. This is my favorite subject.
We're fighting over the word.
No. Well, first of all, you're right. So when you turn on the water, two things occurs. One, you have to evacuate all the cold water out of the pipe. And number two, you have to heat up all the pipe all the way down. So if the pipe is cold, a lot of the hot water has to warm up all that brass or copper piping until it gets to the faucet where it gets warm. But what you can do to solve this problem is they actually make recirculation pumps for remote fixtures. And what it does is when you go into the kitchen, there's a motion detector, or sometimes it just runs to keep the water hot and then shuts off once the water gets cool. And so the water will always be recirculating to that that fixture. So if you walk in the room, it senses that you've, with a motion detector, turns on the pump. The pump will turn on until the sensor feels the hot water, and then it'll shut off. So then you go over to the sink, and you're in the hot water, it'll work.
Yeah, that's that kind of thing of piping systems are very well known in apartment houses.
Yes.
And we can explain that, how it works.
Thank you so much for your question. We have a couple more answers to the quiz.
Yeah. Oh, let's go.
Can we go to those?
Yes.
Yeah, Marilyn.
Hello?
Yeah,
yes, Marilyn, what's your answer?
Clemming?
No.
Okay, we'll take number two. We'll go, it's Kevin and Hohunkus.
Hey, Kevin, what's up?
Yes, hi. I think the answer is a carriage maker's clamp.
Woo!
Yeah, it's a carriage clamp. And why did you know this?
My dad was a carpenter.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Someone's a carpenter. Anyway, what you're going to win is AluBell, Save Money, Save Energy by AluBell and George Merlis.
Yes.
So stay on the line and we'll take your number.
Yes, stay on the line.
And
thank you guys so much for being here today.
And we'll, next time we're around, we'll show all of America how to go forth and fix, save energy, money.
And do it safely.
I have been speaking with Al and Larry Ubell, our gurus of how-to, about winter home repairs and projects. Thank you guys so much for joining.